everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome to The Kelly O Show. Today's interview is with Joe Dowdell, and let me preface this by saying I actually recorded this interview a while back, and we're publishing it now, so you probably might hear some references to when the show was called Fitfluential Radio. Just want to clear that up for you. But if you're not familiar with Joe Dowdell, he is a extremely talented and very well-known celebrity trainer based out of New York. He has trained some of the most well-known athletes and celebrities. And one of the things that I respect most about Joe is I won't say the names of the celebrities he's trained, but he's just not a name dropper. There are some of these celebrities, trainers that you see in OK Magazine and all of the magazines. And it's almost like they're trying to piggyback on their clients to get coverage. And nothing could be further from the truth with Joe. He's been through some major changes in his business. He now has a fantastic online training system or program for anybody that's interested in training and using his nutrition and training advice. And I strongly recommend it. But I think what you'll really love about this conversation is just, you know, here's a guy who gets some of these celebrities in the best shape of their life, and he's so down to earth about things like nutrition and diet and how much to work out. And he's always really been the one over the past several years, when I got to know him through my Fitfluential work, that was usually kind of telling me to snap out of it, you know, with my overtraining. Why are you training so much? Why are you doing all of that? He's very extremely knowledgeable. I can't say enough good things about him. So I know that you're going to get a lot out of this interview and walk away with some incredibly applicable knowledge for your workouts and also for your nutrition. And I know most of you ladies are really going to appreciate a lot of what he says about carbs in particular. So tune in, sit back, and enjoy this interview with Joe Dowdell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am so pleased to welcome someone I have been stalking for quite a while to encourage him to get on the show. He has been part of the Fitfluential community. He's been on our fitness advisory board for years. He is a very well-known, as I shared in the intro, celebrity fitness trainer, Joe Dowdell. So, Joe, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're on today. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it. I'm glad you invited me.
Well, this is big, and I can't wait at the end of the show, you guys, and we're going to have Joe back on the show several times. I think after you hear this interview, you'll understand why. He has a wealth of experience, and he certainly has helped me a lot on my fitness journey. I have been fondly bitch slapped by Joe Dowdell several times and Dr. Mike, and it was all well deserved, but they were great lessons. So I'm thrilled to have you on the show. And usually when I have guests on the show for the first time, Joe, I ask them, you know, when was it that you first got into, you know, fitness or pursuing fitness or health and wellness in your life? But for you, this has been your career. You know, you've worked with professional athletes, celebrities. You're so well known. You're so highly respected in the industry. As a celebrity and athlete, fitness trainer, when did that start for you, and why was it? Because you were also a very successful, you know, model for a while. You were modeling, and you had a you know, other careers. When did you get into, you know, training and doing working with athletes and celebrities, and why was that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, so I did model for many years, and basically, you know, kind of one of the requirements when you're modeling is to stay in shape. So, you know, I spent a lot of time working out and training and stuff like that, and it was cool because I got to train in a lot of different countries and see how people in different countries work out and the things they do or the things they don't do. And then when I kind of sort of settled back down and in New York City, I really decided that I want to pursue a career in fitness, and so I got into that. I used a lot of my connections from the fashion industry to start to build my initial client base, and I worked in a gym for about 11 months, and then I decided to buy my own equipment and move into a live work loft and start training my clients out of there. My first big break, I guess you could say, came training a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model named Stacey Williams for The Issue. She had been in it before, but she was a yoga, basically really like a yoga fanatic. So she was in shape, but never had really trained for The Issue itself. Hmm. So a stylist that I was working with as a client at the time told her about me. She connected. We started training, and we started with the training with the main goal of getting her in shape for the photo shoot. So we trained for a couple of months. She ended up doing the shoot. The pictures came out. She looked amazing. And she looked actually better than she had ever looked in previous issues. And fortunately, she was very nice to kind of give me credit, which was great. And from that point, I started getting a lot of requests from like Cosmopolitan magazine and all these other publications to start contributing to their editorial pieces of, you know, fitness information and training information. And so Stacey was really like the person that kind of helped me get the ball rolling. And I actually wrote a whole blog post on it. It's on my website about the truth about Hollywood transformations, because I've worked with so many celebrities over the years, and I think a lot of people are misguided, or there's a lot of misinformation about, you know, what it really takes for these transformations to happen. Hmm. So I kind of wanted to clear the air and give some insight into, you know, what actually transpires.
That's so really cool.
Yeah.
And actually that was one of my, that's going to be one of my questions, sure, that I wanted to ask you. You know, after training all of these celebrities, that probably one of the number one, I'm going to call it BS lines that we hear when people write into Fitfluential, you know, they'll talk about celebrity transformations that they've seen, or this celebrity that's in shape, and they'll say, well, yeah, and I'm using air quotes, yeah, if I had all the money in the world and I had somebody that was training me, I'd be in perfect shape too. And they think that it's like that there's some special set of privileges that make it easier. And that really comes up. It's easier for celebrities or athletes to get in shape because they have a celebrity trainer. It's almost like it's the work is done for you. It's as if, you know, they're coming to the gym and you put them into the machine, Joe, and you're actually doing the movements for them. And to that, I always say, it's really not, and I'm curious what you would say, mm-hmm, but I look at someone, and I'm not saying this as a negative, I'm just, it is what it is. If you look at someone like Oprah Winfrey has all the money in the world, and I just definitely have seen her look a whole lot better recently, but she's had major challenges with her weight and in getting in shape, and she's shared that. She has all the money in the world. Having all the money in the world and being a celebrity doesn't guarantee you can be in perfect shape. You still have to do the work. You can pay somebody to show up at your house as a trainer. I still remember that show Kirstie Alley was on, and she would just not answer the door. So, I mean, you still have to do the work, but a lot of it has to do, I think, with mindset and dedication and consistency. What do you say to people who think it's easier for celebrities or athletes because they have money?
Look, there's no question that, you know, when you have access to all these resources, it's, you know, it can really help the process. Mm-hmm. But you still have to do the work, right? And, you know, you still have to, you know, have the compliance and the adherence to the program and to the nutritional side of things and to the sleep side of things. Like, you know, people think that these things, these transformations sort of just happen miraculously. I mentioned in my blog post, the biggest thing for, I think, one of the biggest difference, it's not the money issue, right? I mean, and also, look, it's not, you know, in the information on how to train, you know, or eat well and everything, there's a lot of information out there and you can find it, right? And at, for free, right? I mean, but the problem is the implementation and, you know, sticking to it, you know, and that's a mindset issue, right? Like I always say that, you know, being lean is a lifestyle, you know, it's not like, it's not a short-term thing, right? If you want, if you look at the people that are lean, you know, year round, they're living a healthy lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, and there are no question. There are some celebrities that, you know, go up and down. You see it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it does help that, you know, when you're training a celebrity, that a lot of times they have a definitive timeline that they need to, you know, they need to hit, right? Yeah. So that becomes a very strong motivator, a very strong why, right? Like a lot of times people in general, they just say, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to lose 20 pounds. And just wanting to lose 10, 15, 20 pounds probably isn't a big enough why or a big enough motivator for most people, right? You really need to sort of think about, okay, how is losing that 10, 15, 20 pounds going to impact your life? Hmm. How is it going to make you feel when you're able to wear that dress or that you haven't worn in 10, 15 years? Or how is it going to affect your social life and your dating life, you know, or your relationships? Or how is it going to affect you in the work environment? You know, when you walk in, are you going to have more energy and are you going to feel better about yourself? And when you're standing up in front of your colleagues and maybe you're giving a presentation, are you going to feel, you know, more confident? So, I mean, these are all so important and these are the things that people need to sort of dig down into. And if they can make that their why, it's going to make things a lot easier to lose the weight than just saying, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose 15 pounds.
So true. I'm writing that down. And I mean, everybody's talked about finding your why, but you articulated it quite well. Because I think it, as opposed to, I think if you walk up to pretty much anybody in a work context, in a casual social environment and said, you know, hey, do you want to lose weight? Everybody's going to say it. But what are you doing about it? And too many people don't even get started. And then if they do, they're looking at it the wrong way. They don't have a why. They're not thinking about all the areas of their life that can be better when they're healthier, not just when the scale says, you know, 10 pounds lighter. And then they go about it all wrong. And that's some, so those are some of the things that we're going to address in our talk today. And one of the things I think in particular, you know, there's so many myths that people who want to lose weight or want to get in shape and are not there yet, they haven't gotten started or they've hit a plateau. There's so many common things that I'm sure when I, you know, bring this to your attention, you're going to say, yeah, I've been seeing this a lot longer than you have, Kelly. But it's amazing how much there's still bad messaging in the media about things like, well, just eat paleo and you can eat whatever you want. Or, you know, there's messaging about healthy fats. And so people think, well, I can eat avocado and I can eat butter and I can have bulletproof coffee and I can, you know, just eat all I want. There's messaging that maybe has good intentions, but it's still sending people in the wrong direction. And ultimately what I still observe, I can definitely sometimes fall into these traps, are that people of any age, specifically I think women, still are tending to work out way too much. If they're not at their goal, if they want to lose weight, they're still thinking, okay, I'm not reaching my goal. I need to do more working out. I need to add more cardio. Women particularly will say, I'm going to run, I'm going to spin, I'm going to do hot yoga. I think I need to do as much sweating and cardio and sweat off those pounds. And then they're going to, oh, I'm not losing weight, so I'm going to cut my calories way back. It's like the extremes. And it's more about punishment than this is how I want to live. Do you still see when people come to you, new customers or clients that you're training, whether it's regular Joes like me, or I just realized regular Joes, that was pretty funny. Whether it's regular Joes like me or the celebrities and athletes, do you still see those extremes where people are eating way too less and working out way too, and feel free to use me as an example, working out way too much. Do you still see that a lot?
Sure. Here's the thing. Like, I think that, yeah, I mean, there's definitely still a lot of misinformation out there, right? I mean, you know, on the nutritional side of things, on the training side of things, I mean, we're in the information age, right? And the fact that pretty much anybody can build a platform on social media, and which is great in certain respects, and in other respects it can be, you know, really bad, because, you know, when people have big platforms and they don't know what they're talking about, or worse yet, they think they know what they're talking about, so they say it with conviction, you know, and their audience are people that, let's say, are very impressionable, or people that are searching out, you know, they're in a crisis, they want to lose weight, or, you know, they want to blame, you know, they want to blame carbohydrates as to why they can't lose weight, or they want to blame sugar, or they want to blame, you know, artificial sweeteners, or they want to blame insulin, right? Instead of looking at it as, forget about blaming something, take a look at everything, take a look at the big picture, like the, you know, the 10,000 foot view, right? Let's look at everything. Like, let's look at your lifestyle. Let's look at, you know, the decisions that you make, like, you know, throughout the day. And that's what impacts weight loss, right? Like, look, and absolutely, I mean, people need to understand, at the end of the day, if you want to lose weight, you have to create a caloric deficit. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not the insulin fairy. It's not, you know, it's not all these, you know, it's not the gluten. I mean, you know, maybe if somebody, you know, has, you know, an issue with gluten, it can be a problem. But by and large, it's a calorie issue, right? In other words, you have to create a deficit either through, a restriction through nutrition. And when I say the word restriction, I don't mean like, you know, like you're saying punishment. Right. I mean like, somehow either through monitoring or being mindful, let's call it mindful, of what you eat, and or expending calories through a combination of daily activities, which is, you know, NEAT, basically non-exercise thermogenesis. So these are just like all the things that that you would do, like taking the stairs or instead of taking the escalator to the elevator, or, you know, parking further from the shopping mall instead of the first row, you know, the first spot. Like all these things, like they add up to burning more calories. Then also your exercise, right? That also ends up, you know, burning calories. So that combination is how you end up creating a leaner body, right? And the thing about like resistance training as opposed to all other forms of exercise, right, is that it's the thing that actually can help shape the body, right? Like cardio is great. I love it. I do it. I box, I kickbox, you know, sometimes I'll cycle, or sometimes I'll run, sometimes I'll skip rope. But that's more like a caloric expenditure activity as opposed to a, you know, building or preserving lean muscle mass and strength and power activity. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely does. And it took me a while to understand. It was probably a couple of years ago. And again, I still remember when I think I was talking with you and Dr. Mike, and mm-hmm. you guys had recommended I connect with the late, now late, sadly, Mark Crabtree in Chicago. Yeah. And you're like, you've got to get someone to guide you because, and this was before I'd gotten my blood work done. So after, mm-hmm. after I started listening to you guys and realizing I was kind of training all over the place, I was listening to this meathead bodybuilder guy who was bro science and, you know, let's work out 4 hours a day. But when I got my blood work done, I realized there, you know, just what you said, the big picture was I had a lot more going on behind the scenes. But totally. A big, you know, it was listening to you guys and Mark, and then also a good friend of mine, Whitney Jones, who's also been on the show, and she's a trainer. That's when I really started. I'd always loved weightlifting, but when I started having more people saying, make, you know, focus on that first, and that's got to be a big part, and stop becoming obsessed with how your polar heart rate monitor is telling you burn 900 calories, you know, in your cardio, that shouldn't be all you're focusing on. And when I just told myself, I'm giving myself the commitment that I'm going to make sure I get in X amount of weight training sessions every week. And I focused on, you know, lifting heavy, good form. That's when I started to see my body changing shape. The number on the scale did not change. In fact, the number on the scale for me, my body composition has changed dramatically as far as decreasing my body fat, increasing my lean muscle mass. But the weight on the scale, it changed like 3 pounds. And I had to get over that. It was hard. But now I love the way my legs look and my arms look. And that's when women will ask me like, oh my God, I wish I could get your arms. I never thought anyone would look at me and say that. But that's from weightlifting. It's not from excessive cardio. So I agree so much with what you illustrated. And what I want to ask you is, because I've learned this both when I started talking with you and Dr. Mike and getting your guidance, I realized that when I tried to wing it online and just research the extensive amount of fitness information out there mm-hmm. and diet information, you would bust me so often, Joe. You'd be like, and for everybody listening, I used to text, you know, Dr. Mike and Joe, and I'd be like, hey, you guys, I just went and I did a 500 calorie burn cardio workout. And I still remember this one day I said, and then I did 150 walking lunges. And then I went in and I did kettlebells and then I lifted weights. And then I'm doing yoga tonight. And Joe would text me back and go, I'm totally lost at everything you just said. Why are you doing walking lunges when it's, you know, it's not a leg day? Is it a cardio day for you or is it a training day? What are you doing? Why are you training for 4 hours? And that's when I started to realize like, I am not equipped to be my own guide. And that's when I started to understand how much having a trainer and having a guide who knows what they're doing can guide you. That's life-changing when it comes to fitness, because like you said, with so much information online, some of it legitimate and some of it not, I think too many people, there's a lot of people like me that can do way too much. And can you explain to the audience how potentially doing too much training, overtraining can work against you? Because a lot of people don't get that.
Yeah. The thing I want to circle back real quick, because
sure.
The question before, here's the thing, you know, two things. One, when I look at, I think there's a big difference between working out and training. Okay. I think we have a culture now, it's a working out culture. I call it like work. It's like an ADD culture for fitness enthusiasts. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people tend to want to bounce around from program to program or class to class, and they don't really have like, you know, a thought process to anything of what they're doing, right? So they end up like doing like three different types of fitness classes each week, and you know, and they're running from these classes to classes, and there's no plan, right? Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't decide to go on a family trip, right? And get in a car without a map and without directions and without like, supplies and everything, right? And just get in the car and start driving, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
So like, you know, I mean, then there are people that do that, right? And, you know, after 6 months, a year or whatever, you know, they look back and I've seen it a lot. People, I mean, I had a woman I worked out, you know, I trained, and she went to this, It was kind of like cardio Pilates, I guess you'd call it.
that just sounds funny. I don't know
well,
why.
You know, what I mean is like, it's like a, it's a reformer class, a Pilates reformer class that's sort of set to music and, you know, they kind of move from movement to movement. I'm sure it's very fun and it's very popular and I don't really have anything, you know, really against it. I don't really have anything against really much anything, to be honest. I just think that people should just understand, you know, kind of maybe the why they're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But essentially, she went to this class 6 days a week for 1 year and never lost a pound. Mm. Okay, her body never changed. And when she came to me, and she was a classic example of like, you know, fitness ADD. Like she'd go to this class 6 days a week. She'd run off and do spinning class. You know, she would do like a yoga class. Like, you know, she was the typical, you know, I mean, I hate to say this. I don't mean to say, but like the typical New York woman who is like, who is into fitness and into Lululemon and, you know, runs around and goes very successful, but just caught up in, you know, like the, I call it fashion fitness. Huh. You know, so it's like, you know, what the models are doing or what.
Yes. Like the latest craze.
Yes, exactly.
You've reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Joe Dowdell. Make sure you listen to part two.